By listening to this audio, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions found on drmackenziebrooks.com.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Chapter 2 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, Women's Work Quickening, A Call to Action, brought to you by drmackenziebrooks.com, your source for continuous development and lifelong learning. Each of the 13 Cherry Pits for Our Minds has been handpicked by me from the many thousands of hours of conversational journeys that I have had and continue to have with the most incredible women as their coach, counselor, and workshop facilitator. I chose the name Web Workshop intentionally. During each chapter, I will be stopping at different points in my presentation and inviting you to reflect upon certain questions. When I do, you might want to pause the recording while you reflect upon your thoughts and start it again when you are ready. You might consider having something close at hand that you can use to write down your own thoughts. I am inviting you to think about our time together as an online workshop. And now, I would like to introduce you to Cherry Pit Number 2. Cherry Pit Number 2 is, we are all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. We are all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. All of us have a closet, which if yours is anything like mine, is chock-a-block full of all our clothes, our shoes, our purses, and a multitude of other things. Some of these items will have been in our lives from when we were much younger. Some of these items will have been chosen by us, by a younger us, and some of these items will have been passed on to us as gifts and hand-me-downs. At some point in time, each of us ventures forth into our clothes closet and decides we are going to do a closet makeover. We're going to go through each item, assess what still fits and works for us, and decide to keep those items, assess what no longer fits, because it's too big, of course, and no longer works for us, and let go of those items. And eventually, when we're finished going through all of the items, we can go out and choose for ourselves what we are going to add to our closet, what we are going to update into our closet, which fits with who we are now, works for where we are now, at this time in our personal and work life's journey. That is a closet makeover. Now, each of us knows that the thought of going into that closet and doing the closet makeover is much easier than actually doing it. How come? Each item in that closet is full of memories, except, of course, for those items where you look at them and wonder, where on earth did this come from? Each item is full of memories of where it came from, who gave it to us, when we acquired it, where we were at that time in our life, our career, our business, who was in our lives at that time, and what our hopes and dreams were. These memories are often what keeps us attached to things long past their usefulness to us. You now have the authority to enter your closet and choose for yourself what you want to keep, what you want to let go of, and what you want to add to your closet, which is more in alignment with who you are now and who you desire to be at this stage in your life's journey. You now can take action. You now can take charge of what is in your closet. You do not have to keep that gift, that scarf, that sweater, or whatever from that person that you never really liked, the gift, that is, not the person. You do not have to keep those items that you acquired when you were younger. You can seek out for yourself the new items that you want to introduce into your clothes closet, which are more in alignment with your chosen and desired change. You may be wondering how come I'm even talking about closet makeovers. To me, engaging in a closet makeover, a closet update, is identical to what I'm talking about in regards to cherry pits for our minds. When we reflect upon cherry pits for our minds, we're actually engaging in what I call a cognitive makeover. The same process occurs when we choose to update our GPS for life. We are choosing to enter what I call our cognitive closet and assess for ourselves which thoughts, which beliefs, and which opinions we want to keep. Which thoughts, which beliefs, and which opinions we want to change. And which thoughts, which beliefs, and which opinions we want to add, which are more in alignment with who we are now and who we choose to be at this stage in our life's journey. How do we engage in a cognitive makeover? We go into our cognitive closet where we have our thoughts, our beliefs, and our opinions stored, some of which we chose a long time ago. And they did fit for us when we were at a younger age in our life, a younger time in our life, when we were doing different things in our life, and perhaps when the world was a different place. Some of which were given to us, some of which we just learned from each other, and some of which we learned without even knowing that we were learning them and storing them into our cognitive closet. Cherry Pits for Our Minds is an invitation for each of us to engage in the process of what I call a cognitive makeover, to explore, reflect upon, and entertain what we have learned that is working for us and keep that. What we have learned that is not working for us and seek the change we desire, and what is missing from what we have learned, and assess for ourselves what we choose to seek out, to learn and to embrace that is more in alignment with who we are at this time in our life's journey. Engaging in a cognitive makeover is about creating choice. We now know that we did not have a choice about what we learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we journeyed through our childhood. As adults, we now have this choice. We can now choose to become our own programmers and choose for ourselves, decide for ourselves what is learned, downloaded, and programmed into our own GPS for life. And in that way, we are taking charge of our own cognitive makeover. We are taking charge of updating our own GPS for life. We are becoming our own programmers. As with any GPS, as with any closet, it's important that we take charge of updating them to be more in alignment with who and where we currently are in our life's journey. In Chapter 1, I discussed the first cherry pit for our minds. You learn what you live, and you live what you learn, until you do something about it. I reflected upon the thought that our brain, our GPS for life, which is our operating system for life, through which we live our life, is only as useful as the quality of the programming downloaded from those who were in our lives as we journeyed through our childhood, our programmers. Our GPS for life, as with any GPS, requires updating on a regular basis to ensure the information is relevant and current to our present situation. I remember reading a few years ago about how an elderly couple had driven their vehicle off the end of a dead-end road, through a ditch, through a fence, and into a park, because they were following the directions of the GPS in the vehicle they were driving, and the information in the GPS was no longer current. The GPS actually directed them to follow the road straight ahead, when in fact it was a dead end and a park was there, which is where the couple and their vehicle ended up. They were fine, by the way. It is life essential that we update our GPS for life to reflect the reality that we currently are navigating. When we consciously choose to become our own programmers and to seek out experiences which will update into our GPS for life, our desired and chosen thoughts, beliefs, and judgments, when we engage in our own cognitive makeovers, we are creating choice in our lives. We now have the choice to seek out continuous development and lifelong learning, to become our own programmers and update our own GPS for life, to choose to engage in our own cognitive makeover. Once we know that we can learn how to update and program into our GPS for life, we now know that we have the ability to navigate through the world we currently live in. For we now know that we can learn what we need to learn when we need to learn it. One of the ways that we can assess what has been learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life that we may be unconscious and unaware of is to step out and have a look at our life, to have a look at our career, to have a look at our business. And when we do that, we may begin to see what we might be currently unaware of. We may begin to see patterns and themes that we have been unconscious and that have been out of our awareness. We may begin to see how what is programmed into our GPS for life is now manifesting in our life. In chapter one, I reflected upon how it is generally when things are not working and are missing that we often become aware that we even have a GPS for life. We now have a choice about what is now in our cognitive closet, about what is programmed into our GPS for life. What we do with that choice is up to us. The second cherry pit for our minds is we're all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. That is a given. It's what we do after we drop the ball and make mistakes that requires our attention. It is not only when we do things for the first time that we find ourselves dropping the ball and making mistakes. Even when we know what we're doing, even when we've done it many times before, even when we're familiar with what we are doing, mistakes happen. We have no control over this. This is just how life works. What we do have control over is what we do after we have dropped the ball, after we have made a mistake. For this is when we are offered a glimpse into what we have learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life, which may previously have been outside of our awareness. How? By paying attention to what we do and what we don't do after we have dropped the ball and made a mistake. We are also provided with information about those folks who were part of our lives as we journeyed through our childhood. We learned what they've learned, and they've learned what the folks who were part of their lives as they journeyed through their childhood had learned. And so that legacy is passed on, forward and backward through time. When we have to say, whoops, I dropped the ball on this one, we actually are making a choice, and the choice we are making reflects what we've learned and programmed into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood. What did we experience when we made mistakes as we journeyed through our childhood? Were we supported? Were we encouraged? Were we coached? Was it an opportunity to strengthen our relationship with others and to strengthen our sense of confidence in trying new things? Were we punished? Were we yelled at? Were we called names? Whatever we experience as we journey through our childhood has been downloaded into our GPS for life and is now hanging in our cognitive closet. And this operating system of beliefs and opinions and judgments and feelings is now our life's operating system. We are now living our life through this operating system, and it is driving our thinking, our decisions, and our behavior, whether we're aware of it or not. And what we've learned, what I'm calling our operating system for life, that's our GPS for life, our cognitive closet. What has been downloaded into our GPS for life and stored in our cognitive closet actually cuts both ways, just like a double-edged sword. Not only have we learned how to treat ourselves when we make a mistake, we have also learned how to treat someone else when they make a mistake, when they drop the ball, whether we're aware of it or not. I'm inviting you to reflect upon the following question. When you drop the ball, when you make a mistake, what do you think? What do you feel? What do you do? Do you own up to it? Do you go, oh, whoops, my apologies, I dropped the ball, I made a mistake? Do you talk about what has happened and begin to plan for corrective action? Are there certain people that you feel okay saying, oh, whoops, I dropped the ball to? Are there other people that you do not tell you've dropped the ball? If yes, I'm inviting you to ask yourself how come you tell one person and not another person. This is an important question, for once again we are offered a glimpse into what has been programmed into our GPS for life and how we have learned to assess other people. Do you try to hide the fact that you made a mistake? If yes, how come? Do you try to make it look like someone else did it? We know there are people who do that. They try to make it look like it wasn't them, that someone else did it. Do you try to act like you don't know anything about what happened? Do you remain silent about what happened when it is discovered? Do you act like you had nothing to do with it? How come this kind of reflection is useful is that it opens the door to us coming to understand that whatever we do and don't do reveals what has been learned by us, what has been downloaded and programmed into our GPS for life. It is important that we remember that what has been programmed into our GPS for life has been learned. What has been learned isn't a reflection about how lovable we are, about how worthwhile we are, about how valuable we are, how capable we are, how competent we are. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. It has to do with what we've learned, and we can do something about what we've learned. We can choose to learn how to become programmers and update our own GPS for life to be more in alignment with who we desire and choose to be at this stage in our life's journey. We are choosing to update our GPS for life to be more in alignment with who we desire and choose to be, rather than operate from that set of beliefs about who we are that was programmed into our GPS for life a long time ago by others not of our choosing. When we decide that we are going to update our GPS for life, that we are going to engage in a cognitive makeover, we quickly come face to face with the fact that in order to update our GPS for life, we have to navigate two tasks. The first one is, we have to be able to do things for the first time. And the second one is, we have to be comfortable making mistakes. When we do something for the first time, we're doing something that we don't know how to do. We are leaving what I call Familiarville, and we're entering Unfamiliarville. When we seek change in our life, which is a requirement for us to be able to update our GPS for life, we have to be able to navigate doing things for the first time and being able to make mistakes. Doing something for the first time is a requirement when we seek to update our GPS for life, to update our cognitive closet. Doing things for the first time also requires us to develop a strategy for how we're going to show up and conduct ourselves when we find ourselves in new situations. Every time we place ourselves in a new situation, every time we make a mistake, every time we assess and learn from it, every time we update our GPS for life, we become more confident and competent in our ability to navigate life. Our confidence is enhanced as we learn to trust that we can make a mistake, and when we do make a mistake, we learn something new, something that we did not know before we made the mistake, and this new learning is updated into our GPS for life. Each time we update our GPS for life with our chosen learning, we develop, we grow. Essentially, when we are updating our GPS for life, we are forming a different relationship with ourselves, with the people around us, with the world we live in, and with life itself. A thought that I'm inviting you to invite in for tea, to reflect upon and entertain, is the thought that mistakes are a requirement for learning. A thought that I'm inviting you to invite in for tea, to reflect upon and entertain, is the thought that mistakes are a requirement for learning. We've learned what we lived, and our beliefs, opinions, and judgments about mistakes and making mistakes have been learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life from the folks around us as we journeyed through our childhood. We learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life how they behaved when we made a mistake, when someone else made a mistake, and when they made a mistake. Did they react with patience, understanding, and encouragement? Did they react in anger, frustration, and impatience. All of this learning was downloaded by us as we journeyed through our childhood. I'm going to stop now and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want to remind you that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question, and to observe, reflect upon, and to entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. It's important for us to remember that we have no choice about learning, downloading, and programming what we live into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for, what has been programmed into our GPS for life. We are responsible, though, and do have a choice about what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults, which is what you are doing now by participating in Cherry Pits for Our Minds. Question number one. How did the folks around you react when you made a mistake as a child? Question number two. How did they react when somebody else made a mistake? Question number three. How did they react when they made a mistake themselves? When we entertain the thought that making mistakes is a requirement for learning, it opens the door for us to form a different relationship with doing new things, with doing things for the first time. Choosing to become our own programmers requires us to accept the fact that we won't know what we're doing when we do something for the first time, and that we're going to do it anyway. It requires us accepting that we will be making mistakes and dropping the ball. Choosing to become our own programmers requires us to embrace that it is just a normal part of doing something for the first time. That dropping the ball and making mistakes is just a normal part of learning. It is often said that people who accomplish things are people who are not afraid to make mistakes. People who make things happen in their lives, in their world, and in the world that the rest of us live in make a lot of mistakes and are not afraid to make these mistakes. In fact, they know that they are going to make mistakes. They also know that if they are not making mistakes, then they are not learning. And if they are not learning, they are not growing. And if they are not growing, then they are not updating their GPS for life. And that means that they remain at the mercy of programming by unchosen others as they journey throughout their childhood. A thought that I am inviting you to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain is that when we are not making mistakes, then we have stopped learning. We have stopped updating our GPS for life. We have stopped growing. And we are no longer on our path of personal development and lifelong learning. If we are not learning, then we are at the mercy of what has been programmed into our GPS for life by unchosen others as we journeyed through our childhood. And now, here we are, how many years later, with a cognitive closet chock-a-block full of thoughts, beliefs, opinions, and judgments all hanging there, some of them years and years old, and many, perhaps most, we do not even have a memory of where and when we acquired them. We did not choose them. Maybe they never fit us. And for most of us, there are many that, while familiar to us, we would not have chosen them for ourselves in the first place. And yet, here we are, many years later, with a cognitive closet full of thoughts and beliefs and other items gifted to us by others, not of our choosing, and we are still operating from these same thoughts. We are still operating from these same beliefs. We are still operating from these same opinions. And we are still operating from these same judgments, which now drive our thinking, which now drive our feelings, which now drive our decisions, which now drives what actions we will take and what actions we will not take. We are now living our lives through this operating system. Our history does not have to be our destiny unless we choose to let it be. We have the authority at this time in our lives to consciously and intentionally choose to update our GPS for life, to update our cognitive closet, so that it is more in alignment with who we are now at this time in our lives, with how we want to be now at this stage in our life's journey, and with the world we currently find ourselves navigating. The learnings we gain from the actions we take and do not take are updated into our GPS for life. This updated learning in our GPS for life now drives our future thoughts, our future feelings, our future decisions, and our future actions. This is how we can make conscious what has previously been unconscious, and we can come to know what has previously been unknown. By choosing to venture forth into the unknown and doing things for the first time, we discover what we learned and what we have not learned that is working and not working for us, which frees us to choose for ourselves our own chosen learning, our own chosen change, which is more in alignment with who and how we choose to be at this stage in our life's journey and given the world we now find ourselves navigating. All of us make mistakes, whether we like it or not. Making mistakes is simply a part of doing things. And the only time we are not making mistakes is when we're not doing anything. And when we're not doing anything, that can be a huge mistake. I'm inviting you to remember that we really aren't looking for the right answer. Based on what's happening, we are looking for what is working. We are looking for what is not working, and we are looking for what is missing. There is no right answer. There is only what works. I'm inviting you to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain the thought that making mistakes is a working in our lives, in our business, and in our careers, rather than a not working. I'm inviting you to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain the thought that making mistakes is a working in our lives, in our business, and in our careers, rather than a not working, as long as we are learning from our mistakes, that is. The thought that I'm inviting you to invite in and entertain for tea is that dropping the ball and making mistakes is part of something working rather than something not working. It does not matter how many mistakes we make as long as we are learning from our mistakes. In fact, some folks think about making mistakes as being similar to conducting an experiment. Thomas Edison, who is credited with inventing, among other things, the light bulb, is quoted as saying, "It does not matter whether each experiment is successful or not. What is important is that you keep experimenting. What matters is that you keep making mistakes." Edison experimented over 10,000 times before he invented the light bulb. The more experiments he made, the closer he was to what works. Every experiment that Edison made that did not work, every mistake that he made, provided him with additional information, additional learning as to what was working, what was not working, and what was missing. What is a learning curve? A learning curve is making mistakes and assessing for ourselves based on what is happening, what is working, what is not working, and what is missing, and continuing to make mistakes until we are able to put in place something that for the most part is working. For now, that is. Albert Einstein is reported to have said that anybody who's never made a mistake has never tried anything new. There is only one road to greatness, and he called it through the school of hard knocks. What I'm advocating is that if we're going to do things for the first time, if we are going to place ourselves in new experiences, which is required for us to learn how to become our own programmers, then it means we're going to make mistakes. Updating our GPS for life hinges on our willingness and our ability to make mistakes. For we cannot update our GPS for life, we cannot engage in a cognitive makeover without doing things for the first time. And when we do things for the first time, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to drop the ball. And we're going to make lots of whoopses. And it's important that we make the whoopses useful, relevant, and meaningful by assessing based on what is happening, what is working, what is not working, and what is missing. The information we gather from this assessment informs our new action plan. Now, I'd like to read to you one of my many favorite pieces of writing. I have used it for many years. It is called "Here's to the Crazy Ones." Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can praise them, disagree with them, you can quote them, disbelieve them, glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They invent, they imagine, they heal, they explore, they create, they inspire, they push the human race forward. Maybe they have to be crazy. How else can you stare at an empty canvas and see a work of art, or sit in silence and hear a song that's never been written, or gaze at a red planet and see a laboratory on wheels? While some may see them as crazy, we see them as genius, because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. I am now inviting you to reflect upon the following three questions. Question number one: how come cherry pit number two, "We are all going to drop the ball and make mistakes," is important? Question number two, how come this cherry pit and these thoughts are important to me? Question number three, how come this cherry pit and these thoughts are important to women, to grandmothers, to mothers, to daughters, to sisters, to aunts? We are now at the end of chapter two of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, where I invited you to invite him for tea and entertain, in addition to other thoughts, the second of 13 hand-picked cherry pits. Cherry pit number two is, we're all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. In closing, I'm inviting you to reflect upon the thoughts that I have entertained in this chapter. Thoughts such as, we learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. Our GPS for life can be updated. We can choose to seek out the updates that we desire for the change that we seek in our lives, our businesses, and our careers. Updating our GPS for life, conducting a cognitive makeover, requires us to engage in two key behaviors. The first is doing things for the first time, and the second is to be able to drop the ball and make mistakes. It's what we do after we make mistakes that requires our attention. For it is at these moments in time that we are offered a glimpse into what has been learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood. When we choose to do something new, when we choose to venture forth into the unknown, when we choose to live a life of continuous development and lifelong learning, we are continuously updating our GPS for life. We are continuously engaging in cognitive makeovers. When we do choose to leave Familiarville and enter Unfamiliarville and remain there until it becomes familiar and eventually known, we are updating our GPS for life. Our GPSs and our closets need continuous updating and continuous makeovers in order to confidently navigate the world we currently find ourselves living in. I'm inviting you to invite these thoughts in for tea and to entertain these thoughts as you would a guest, knowing that these thoughts will leave as all guests eventually do, and perhaps you might reflect upon these thoughts. Perhaps you might entertain these thoughts for yourself so that you can assess for yourself whether or not these thoughts resonate for you, whether or not these thoughts fit for you, whether or not these thoughts work for who and where you are at this time in your life's journey, given who you choose to be and given who you were born to be here on this earth at this time. And if these thoughts do resonate for you, if these thoughts do fit for you, if these thoughts do work for you, then perhaps you might consider asking them to stay. I thank you for joining with me as I reflect upon these hand-picked cherry pits for our minds. Goodbye for now.